Last October, I gave a talk on the soul. It proved to be such a juicy topic, at least for me, that there was a lot that I had to cut out, hoping to revisit it sometime. Well, that time has come. Today, I will be looking at the soul from a pop culture perspective. First, a definition. Popular culture consists of the artifacts, the activities, the essences of what defines a culture. These artifacts are enjoyed or used by the populace, the everyday people, as it were, as opposed to things like high culture, which is seen as something being enjoyed by, quote, the elite. So think of the differences between Taylor Swift and Puccini. Now, what the soul is depends on who you are and what you believe. For today, let us define the soul as that essence that is truly us. What makes us somebody that unites the mind and the heart, that animates the machine that is our bodies. Now, for a while, I have been pondering the use of the word soul to describe certain things, like music, for example, or food. Well, like a good little librarian, I did my research. Now, the signifier soul within the Black community embodies notions of authenticity and pride in Black identity. Now, back in the day, it was aligned with cultural experiences of what were considered lower class urban Black Americans. But then, during the Civil Rights Movement of the 1960s, it gained much more prominence and respect when Black nationalists, such as the Black Panthers, encourage celebrating Black culture and heritage. The phrase, Black is beautiful, was born around this time. Now, my mom, hi mom, embraced many aspects of the Civil Rights Movement. She wore an afro, she carried a pick comb, as did I. She worked with the dashiki cloth to create a really amazing tablecloth that we used for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And she worked as a civil rights investigator for the federal government for her entire 38-year career. Go, Mom. Yeah. And what was surprising to me, since she never seemed to cook soul food for me growing up, she had a soul food cookbook. A tome called Princess Pamela's Soul Food Cookbook, copyrighted 1969, and apparently worth at least $200 in its original printing, which we have. Now, since discovering this book, I have wondered and pondered the essence of soul food. How did soul food get its name? Well, according to the genius of everyone, Wikipedia, the term developed in the mid-1960s, again, during the Civil Rights Movement, to refer to the food of African Americans, when soul was used during that era to refer to African American culture. Now, Bob Jeffries, who is the author of the book Soul Food Cookbook, said the difference between soul food and Southern food is, quote, while all soul food is Southern food, not all Southern food is soul food. It's sort of like, you know it when you see it. So soul food historian Adrian Miller goes on to say that, quote, the main difference between soul food and Southern food is that soul food is intensely seasoned and uses a variety of meats to add flavor to food and adds a variety of spicy and savory sauces. Try saying that five times fast. Now, much of soul food incorporates cooking techniques and ingredients developed not only in West and Central Africa, but also is influenced by American indigenous culture, not to mention the colonialist influences of Western Europe. So, soul food cookery developed as Black enslaved people learned to make do with whatever they were given to eat by those who enslaved them. So, for example, leftovers or the undesirable parts of animals. So, for example, pigs and pork, as well as corn, were big in soul food cooking and still are today, partially because they were eaten by many people in the South, both Black and white. Nowadays, you can find vegan soul food cookbooks. I actually own one. And you can find soul food in restaurants outside, very, you know, Michelin star kind of restaurants, outside of the Black South. And dare I say, soul food that is considered to be cooked in a, quote, healthier fashion, which is pretty cool. So, I have an admission. When the movie Soul Food came out in 1997, I admit that I really didn't think much of it because, despite the excellent cast, I just didn't think it would interest me much because, well, I wasn't raised with the traditions of soul food or huge Sunday dinners where everyone and their family showed up or even homemade mac and cheese. I grew up with the blue box. I know, right? The horror. Now I do Annie's mac and cheese, so there you go. Mom was busy saving the world.
Okay, alright.
So there you go. So I think Mom had an excuse. So here's the thing. During my childhood, I was incredibly ignorant about what soul food was. I remember walking into my friend Tracy's home one day and going, "What's that smell?" And she said, "Oh, it's chitlins." And I'm like, "Excuse me, what now? What are they?" And she had to explain what chitlins were, and I just sort of started backing up towards the door, going, "What?" So I was very confused as a child. But here's the thing. During my childhood, Mom didn't cook soul food for me with one big exception, and that big exception is sweet potatoes. I love sweet potatoes. Baked, candied, in casseroles, in hash, called yams, just because they're a darker shade of orange. Love sweet potatoes. Thanks to my mom, who always made an amazing sweet potato casserole, yes, with marshmallows on top, lightly toasted. And then her sweet potato pie, which was so amazing. And she would make sweet potato casserole and sweet potato pie for Thanksgiving and Christmas. She still does it even today. Even though she hates to cook, she will make them for the holidays. Now, here's the thing. She verbally passed down the recipes for both sweet potato casserole and sweet potato pie to me. I learned to cook them when I was really young. I would try to lick the batter mixers of the sweet potatoes and learn that sweet potatoes have strings in them. You just work with them. And then I would learn how to toast the marshmallows just right. I learned how much evaporated milk to pour in, because of course there weren't exact measurements. It was just, you know, till it looks right. So, which is really hard for people who are more mathematically inclined in their cooking. To just sort of say, "Oh, just pour in a little bit," doesn't work. So eventually, I started trying to figure out what the measurements were. I then wrote down this recipe to be included in a family cookbook that was being compiled by my former mother-in-law way back in the 90s, mid-90s. And my mother-in-law was an amazing cook, still is. So now, it could be argued that the recipe for sweet potato casserole and sweet potato pie are the only soul food recipe in this family cookbook, which has gone through a couple more iterations as other people married into the family. I mean, after all, as far as I know, I'm the only Black person to have ever married into the family. My in-laws and my husband are white. And as far as I know, I'm the only Black person to have contributed a recipe to this cookbook so far. Hopefully my sons, Duncan and Griffin, will be invited to contribute. And of course, sweet potato pie and sweet potato casserole are considered to be soul food dishes. But I believe that every dish in the family cookbook could be considered a soul food dish because every recipe was contributed by a person who gets true, deep, soul-filling satisfaction from cooking or eating that recipe. It makes them think of childhood or of home or of safety, or maybe when things were simple, or simpler, at any rate. And I think that's what soul food truly is. It's a food of the soul. Now, soul music, on the other hand, I was not ignorant of at all. I grew up on it hardcore. Aretha Franklin, Marvin Gaye, The Supremes, Al Green. I love this music. I grew up on neo-soul, Motown, psychedelic soul, and so many more subgenres. I also love that the roots of soul lie in the blues, which I didn't get a good appreciation for until college, when I started hanging out with someone who loved the blues. And every Sunday night, or Sunday morning rather, because it was Saturday night at 12 midnight, one of the radio stations in Providence would play nothing but blues for 3 straight hours. I even got a chance to see Albert King perform live at a blues club in Providence. So, the thing I love about the blues is that it is a quintessential American music genre, and the roots of soul lie in the blues. So why is it an American genre? Because the blues stems from spirituals and work songs that were sung by enslaved people and even people who were not formally enslaved, but instead were working on the railroad, working on the roads, just working in the early part of this country's history up through at least the 1950s and 60s. Now, blues music, it tells the stories of the freed people during Reconstruction and the Jim Crow eras. And now, one might argue, it is a music of struggle, a music of resilience, a music that is the basis for so many other genres of music, such as country and Western, both types, country and Western, jazz, rhythm and blues, rock, and yes, soul. So soul music, according to some, can be seen as the, quote, black interpretation of the blues, while rock and roll is seen as the white interpretation. But I don't think it's that easy. I don't think it's that simplistic, to be honest. Because think of it this way. There is a subgenre of music called Blue Eye Soul. It came about in the 60s, and it involves people like Daryl Hall and John Oates, you know, who are white. And then there are black people in rock and roll like Jimi Hendrix and Prince, many others as well. So it's not so quote unquote black and white as we might like to think. So what is soul music? Soul music is characterized by intense vocal delivery, call and response patterns, and the vocal gymnastics of singers like Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. So similar to the blues, soul music possesses an emotional intensity. It expresses the feelings of the creator, whether it be or the singer, or the person who wrote it, whether it's pain or love, whether it's personal struggle or triumph. Like in what we see in the soul music of the protest era of the 60s and 70s, we see a lot of things like a change is going to come, that hopefulness that's there in the music. We see things like in the 70s, things talking, you know, like What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. What is going on? So many of these artists were expressing what's going on, so to speak. Now, given these characteristics, it makes sense that soul music is called just that because it stems from the souls and it stirs the souls of those who hear it. Now, I was really lucky, like I said, that I grew up listening to soul. My mom had a bunch of soul albums, vinyl, which has made a huge comeback. And now some of those soul albums are in possession of my older son, Duncan, who loves vinyl. I gave him my copy of Thriller, which was a first press, and he was like, "Ooh, Thriller," and he just took it. He's got Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, classic disco, but it's Earth, Wind, and Fire. They go beyond disco, in my opinion. And for a while, Mom and I would talk about whether or not soul music still existed, because a lot of these albums that, you know, that we gave to Duncan were from the 70s, maybe early 80s. But then a certain super duo called Silk Sonic appeared on the scene. Silk Sonic came out with an amazing song and music video called Leave the Door Open. Silk Sonic amazed her so much, particularly the video, that she allowed that, okay, maybe soul wasn't quite dead. Now, Silk Sonic is a super duo formed by Bruno Mars, who's big in R&B and pop, and Anderson .Paak, who's big in R&B and hip-hop. The song Leave the Door Open won several Grammys in 2022. And what I think is amazing is that they withdrew their nomination from the next year's Grammys because they didn't want to sweep it. They weren't necessarily, I don't think they were being cocky. I think they were being pretty much outright truthful, and they wanted to give other musicians an opportunity because people saw and felt the impact of Leave the Door Open and the album that they recorded later on. Now, I had the opportunity to see Silk Sonic perform in 2023 in Las Vegas in the MGM Grand. It was my first Vegas show. I've never seen a show in Vegas. And I had a seat way up top. But it was so amazing. The crowd interacted with the singers. Bruno and Anderson interacted with their backup singers. They sang really dramatically. They acted out lyrics, like, you know, similar to like the Supremes. And then they wore these amazing velvet suits with collars to their shoulders and unbuttoned down to here. They had the gold chains. It was so retro and yet so amazingly earnest and honest. And there was even at one point where Anderson .Paak collapsed on the floor in hysterics, acting it out, of course. And the crowd just went wild. We swooned. It was amazing. So what I find curious is that while this music is considered R&B, according to Wikipedia, I consider them soul in the truest sense because they embody a lot of that James Brown kind of action, the James Brown music, the James Brown essence. So, you may be asking, how can I, a Unitarian Universalist, get in on this? Or, okay.
How could a Unitarian Universalist like I get into this?
Well, let me talk about that. So, here's the curious thing about being a Unitarian Universalist. The denomination is predominantly white, which means as a UU, we have to think about, can non-black people embrace soul the same way that black folks have? Well, I would not say in the exact same way because of power dynamics and historical background that are part of being a black American. We have the history of slavery being brought on ships against their will, not immigrating, as some textbooks in Texas might have you believe. We've got things like Jim Crow in the 1930s. We've got Ku Klux Klan. We've got white supremacist movements. We've got who gets hired and who doesn't get hired. We've got DEI being stricken from hiring practices in the federal government and schools and academia, maybe even the private sector in Target. Come on, Target. So because of all of this, it's really hard to be soul as if you were black. I mean, there was a horrible movie that came out in the 80s called Soul Man with C. Thomas Howell. Some of us who are my age might remember it. Basically, C. Thomas Howell is upset that he didn't get into the law school of his choice, so he goes in blackface and reapplies and gets accepted because he's black. Hilarity ensues, if you could call it hilarity. So, as a result, I think it's better to, instead of trying to adopt, quote-unquote, the blackface of soul, instead embrace what soul means to you and find those elements of popular culture that touch your heart deep inside, whether it's the movie Soul by Pixar that came out in 2020, whether it's bluegrass music, which again comes from the blues, comes from African as well as American forms of music, or maybe the supergroup Toto, which did the song Africa. Now, here's the thing. Here's what's very important. Soul knows no color. Soul, if we define it as we have already defined it, knows no particular person, knows no particular place, knows no particular thing. Remember, soul is in our heart. Soul unites our heart and our minds. It embodies the bodies that we inhabit. So what does this mean? It means that we all have soul. To quote Jesse Jackson, we are somebody. We are somebody with soul. Blessed be and Ashe.